Esba Wahes.
We want to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege to be in your house again for another time of fellowship. We thank you for the week that ended yesterday. Your blessings upon us, both physically and spiritually. Thank you for all that we received in the services of last week. Thank you for your protection, Lord, upon us within the city and those who traveled. We thank you for your healing hands upon the sick and the afflicted. Thank you for the provision for our needs. We are grateful unto you. Lord, we thank you for making our gathering possible this morning. Thank you for joining us from different parts of the city. We thank you, O God. Thank you, O Lord, for the blessings in the Sunday school and the worship service. We bless your holy name. Thank you for special numbers. Lord, we just ask that the blessings that each of them contains, Lord, may they be part of our lives. We want to come in the rest of the service into your hand. We pray that you come and take the preeminence. Bless every aspect of the service. May it draw us closer unto you. We ask, O God, that every garden of your saints in this nation and other countries of the world, may your presence be with them. You help your servants, give them strength, both physically and spiritually. Lord, give them option of your spirit. Help your children that will sit down to listen, that the things that we will hear, may they encourage us, O God. May they lift up our faith, and may they draw us closer unto you. May they not be a condemnation to any of us on the day of judgment. Grant it, Heavenly Father, as you commit the entire service into your hand. Those who will be listening through online, may they receive blessings likewise. Thank you, Father. I will trust you that very soon you will perfect the head of the pastor, and as many as are sick, may your name be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. God bless you. You can please be seated. We welcome ourselves to church again this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to, before we greet the visitors, Evangelist Babalola sent greetings to the church. He traveled to Warri on Thursday, and the burial that he went for had been done yesterday. And we thank the Lord for the success of it. I believe he'll be on his way back tomorrow after the service today. He sent. The Lord bless you. Yeah, this is where I will make a U-turn. Yeah, you see, I know that it's not everybody that knew what happened. But what happened, because we are public servants and we really cannot. I was having some feelings in the body recently, about 2 weeks or so ago. And I went for a scan. And the scan said there are some adverse substance in my kidney and liver, which I sent a report to the doctor. And I was given prescriptions and I bought. I was told to be on plenty water. So I was drinking the water heavily. And then it was not flowing out the way it was going inside. So the other Wednesday night, he couldn't come out at all. So I have to rush to the hospital around after 1 in 9. And I was assisted to get them out. And I carried with me the rubber that they fixed. That's how I came to church last Sunday. And not everybody knows what is inside the cloth. And in the course of the week that ended, they removed it. I was able to do it naturally. And that's the end of one phase of the treatment. So, but the treatment still continues because I'm still going to do some whatever until we get to the final booster. So thank you for your prayers. I could have preached, but it will be stressful on the body. I'm still on drugs. The body is not yet as strong as it used to be. And since we have people who are heavier at the moment, I think we don't need to kill ourselves. For my own, even if we get to some extent, we can even play tape if we get to the last. Tape is also part of service. Yeah, so whichever way. But for this morning, since we have a physical five-fold, they can see. Yes. So we are we having a teacher, Reverend Dr. Ade Omejeshua, who will be taking the service. Reach out and touch the Lord as a passion for us.
You for the privilege, Lord, to be in your house. Your prophet said there's no better place to be than to be in your house. At this time, anytime there is service, your house is the best place. We are grateful for the privilege, and we know you have called us not in vain, but to bless us. Bless us indeed. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. Stretch out your hand to heal the sick. Encourage the discouraged. Fill with your spirit. Let the desires of everyone here present be granted. Thank you, because we know you promised to do that. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Well, there's no need of wasting our time again, since the information has been passed, so let's straight away open our Bible. To the book of Romans, chapter 8. Just a little peculiar thought this morning. We read from verse 28 to 32. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to conform to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that has not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? May the Lord bless the reading, the hearing of his word to our hearts. God bless you. You can please be seated. Thank the Lord for his grace upon his servants. Let me also say that the associate standing for the pastor also need to do some rest, and that's why you see us here. God bless you. This morning, by the grace of God, from the scripture we read, I know this topic that we want to talk about this morning is one of the great open door. It's one of the great open doors of God for us to walk free with God and to walk free among ourselves. To walk free with God and to walk free with your neighbor. And I was thinking the way to title it, but somehow you can still be retitled, but I want to call it forgiveness and justification. Forgiveness and justification. Praise be to God. We'll be drawing inspiration from several sermons, especially from the sermons, the pardon, and then all things. What is forgiveness? When we say forgiveness, by the grace of God, we run through this, looking at what is forgiveness. Why did God promise forgiveness? Who can forgive? Well, you say, we know it's God. God can forgive. Then, who can be forgiven? How do we obtain forgiveness? Man's attitude to forgiveness and God's attitude to forgiveness. And it is a forgiveness is a necessary condition for faith. God bless you. So as God will help us this morning, we trust that we'll be able to cover what we have here. Though we know we can't preach every sermon. And so what is forgiveness? Yeah, of course. We know that forgiveness ordinarily is when somebody offends you. You tell the person, and you have in your mind, somebody has offended you. And you have in mind that, okay, because this person has done this, I am going to do this. And if you forgive that person, whether the person apologizes to you or not, it means that you are absorbing them from the punishment that you intend to inflict on them because of what they have done. As humans, we come to something. So, dictionary gives us the meaning of forgiveness. It means pardon. And pardon is to absorb somebody from his guilt, to release somebody from his guilt, to exonerate
We have a legal practitioner here who will understand the word exonerate. There is a legal term to absorb the person of the burden of the evil the person has done. Extension, forgiveness is also an extension of mercy. It's amnesty. To exonerate somebody, that is to free from accusation of blame. You accuse somebody, when the person is exonerated, you tell he's not guilty. That's to exonerate it. To acquit the person. To tell him, oh, Jebi, Maloli Elalafia. That is what forgiveness is. But in now in human record, there's a record that this person was charged of this, accusations, witnesses, and the rest of it, they are in record, kept in the court. The record that the person is also acquitted of that offense is also there. So that tomorrow, if he will be accused, the full document is available. If somebody said he did this, but he's been acquitted, he's been exonerated. But the record is there. So, but in God's case, it's different. Now, the very reason why we are looking at forgiveness is that many people still find themselves in the level where, you know, they have not forgiven themselves after God has forgiven them, after they are taking the right steps. If you are here, God is trying to address your case. And if you are the type that you are here, you don't forgive people, your case is also being addressed here. If people have offended you and you have dictionary in your heart, you have written every garden thing they have done. You have them written in your heart, and every time an issue happens, you open it up again. Every time an issue happens, you go back to that same thing. You reopen it. It shows you have not forgiven. So, it is an order. Because we say the word forgiveness is pardon. And then the pardon is also given a more convincing definition. He said it is an order that releases a convicted criminal without further punishment. It's to prevent future punishment. Pardon. It's remove an offense from a person's criminal record as if he had never been committed. That's the word pardon. And then the prophet gives us this understanding in the Psalm of Pardon, paragraph 34. Because the word forgiveness, the word pardon, is so great in the journey of Christianity that God has to, it has to be part of the nature of God for anybody to ever move with God. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how can man be certain that he's been forgiven? Praise be to God. The Lord will help us this morning to look at this. And when we talk about justification, what are we talking about justification? Forgiveness is different from justification. In the line, along the line, we are going to understand that. And so the prophet told us, paragraph 34 of the sermon pardon. The prophet says, so this night that I read that God gives us all things and he gives us pardon. It is pardon to those who want to accept God's word as pardon. But it's only just us. It's just us. Read it. It doesn't, just as we read it,
It doesn't mean that you are pardoned. Because you have read it, it does not mean. There are certain steps you have to take to get this pardon. And that's why we are tonight's few things that we're going to talk about. It means that you have got to accept it as your pardon. And to accept it as your pardon, then you will understand that what pardon, what brings pardon? It is because you need to be pardoned. You have done something contrary to God's word. God is the creator of everything. God is the one that brought forth his word. He's the one that defines what sin is. It is not you that defines sins. It's not me that defines sins. Because human beings are so smart. If we are to define sin, we define sin in a way that it becomes very mad. They are talking about social workers today. Another word for them is prostitution, which the Bible condemns. They call them social workers. That's the definition of them. They are giving another definition. They call prostitution, they also call it Olosho, Abi. Yeah. Those are prostitutes too. I think there are some other names that, they call them. No, they don't want to call themselves sex worker because it's too hot. It's hot. But it's those who don't have eyebrow that they are ashamed. They no longer ashamed. That's what they tell them. We are sex workers. Yeah. I mean that you have got to accept it as your pardon. That God gave his son to die in your stead. Now, why does God forgive us? Why does he forgive us? It is because we have gone contrary to his instruction. We have broken his law. And his law requires a punishment that must be met. And if you want to escape that punishment, God must have to forgive you. If you are not forgiven, and you are certain that you are forgiven, you will live with the guilt of your sin. Now, it is possible for people to do things and they are not feeling guilty. That's a dangerous ground. For people to feel, to do evil, and they are not guilty about it. And they are still okay. Their guilty conscience is already dead. They are on a dangerous platform. Because God put conscience in man to prick him. To make him to be conscious that this that you have done is wrong. In fact, the people of God, according to Romans chapter 1, if you look at it, God gave them conscience by which they know that the things that they were doing was wrong, even when there was no law. When there was no law, if you go back to Romans chapter 1, you will see. Let's read Romans chapter 1 because it's part of that. Romans. Sorry, it's even chapter 2, not chapter 1. Alright, let me pick it from here. Alright. Okay, let's read from verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doth the same thing. But we assure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Oh, despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continuous in well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor and peace to every man that walketh good, to the Jews first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Their conscience. Their conscience tells them even when there was no law. Now, what about Joseph? There was no law in the time of Joseph to say don't commit fornication. Is there a law? Has the law given to Moses already? Because the children of Israel left Egypt before God gave them the law. But the law was written in their hearts in form of conscience to make them to that statement of Joseph to say that I cannot do this evil thing and sin against God. How did he know that? Somebody asked me a question sometimes. He said that those people who live without the law, who live on the heart when there was no law, before Moses came, they were just living, nobody told them this one. I said, well, in the time of Adam, in the time of Noah, Noah preached to the people. Noah preached, but before Noah came, they were passing information across to themselves through Adam, down to Abel, the Abel's generation, and the rest of it. So the Bible talks about it. Now there is no law. Remember, the prophet made us to know that between Abel and Cain, they received a commandment to worship. The commandment that they received to worship was from God, worship me. But God wanted somebody that will worship him by revelation. So what did he do? He revealed to Abel. And the prophet told us, can you project to us, is it doing God the service or whatever? Let me see. Search the beginning of righteousness from the something. That one just came to me now. Let's look at it. Or God's revealed truth. Whichever one you get first. Yeah, that's right. Let's. From paragraph 77. That's exactly what took place at the very beginning, as Cain and Abel, both boys there and on earth. And when Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and God vindicated Abel by coming down and receiving his sacrifice, he caused jealousy with Cain because he was jealous of his brother and slew his brother. It started at the beginning that when the natural and the spiritual, yet Cain and Abel worshiped the same God, they both built the same kind of altars, and they both worship the same God at the same church, same altar. But Cain by carnal reasoning brought in the fruits of the land and laid them upon the altar as a sacrifice, thinking that surely that this will answer to God for an atonement. So he must have brought in, as people think today, apples that Adam and Eve took that caused the sin. And whatever, I think now they got it down to a pomegranate or something now. Some of them said not long ago it was something else. But Abel had the right sacrifice. He knew that it was blood that did it. So he brought a lamb. And when God received this, now Abel by faith, by revelation, no other way. There was no Bible written. No Bible written for them to read. So, but by revelation, no other way, there was no Bible written. So you see, the beginning of righteousness is God. So, for anybody to ever walk righteous on the face of the earth, the message of today has to be revealed to you. And that is the only way you will follow it. Step by step. So, the beginning of righteousness is God revealed truth. So, if it's not revealed to you, you can never apply it. Because the essence of God revealing the truth to Abel was for Abel to carry it out. To offer a sacrifice that he will accept. Did Abel do it? Did Abel offer the right sacrifice? After God revealed it to him? Yes. Because that was what God wanted. Did Cain offer an acceptable sacrifice to God? Why? He didn't have the revelation to offer the right sacrifice. So God has a way of dealing with people in the past generation. And that's the same thing that happened to Joseph, who had no law written, no Bible written, for him to know it was wrong for him to commit the fornication. Praise be to God. So the person asked me, and I took him through the scripture, and we talked, and he said, it is very clear. The scripture dissolves our doubt, especially when we open our hearts. Praise be to God. So, pardon is what God uses to reconcile man to himself, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the prophet normally emphasizes that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It was God that started that way man sinned in the beginning. The only way man could come back to God for reconciliation was for God to pardon the man. And God has a process of pardoning. And that is by making atonement for the sin of the man. It's not God that God will say, oh, it is pardoned. It has to be on the basis of something. So that is why we know the denomination people, the religious people, those who just finished their 30 days or 29 days fasting, on the basis of their fasting, they are asking for forgiveness. They are deceived. They are deceived. They have refused to accept the righteousness of God. They go about establishing their own righteousness, like the children of Israel. Because God has his way through which you can be forgiven. And he has laid down in his word. Praise be to God. Release from guilt is what we wish to speak to place on this. A pardon from God is a release from guilt. So we are talking about what is forgiveness. It's a release from guilt. Not the turning away by psychological doctrine of some sort. That people think that, okay, forgiveness is if somebody offends you and you just say, if you offend God, and you say, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did what is wrong. Is that to be on a certain basis? It's not just for everybody to say, oh God, I've done what is wrong. Please forgive me. Do you understand what I'm trying to drive at? The adolescents, let me ask you a question. How do you obtain forgiveness? I know that your teacher has taught you. How do you obtain forgiveness? Well, I believe that you answer later. Okay, let's go on. Maybe by the time we go further, you will know that you have the answer to what I'm asking you. Not the turning away by psychological doctrine of some sort that might in some way give you a little feeling that you have done what is right. No, not what man proposes, not what man suggests, not your idea. Hey, if I do this, I'll be forgiven. Not what you think that, okay, This is the step I wouldn't like the Muslim. The Muhammad told them that that is the way they can get forgiveness. And they make us to know that during that period, any of their faithful Muslim that dies during that time is going to Ajana Street. I said, what about other months? What about other months? And some of them, they'll be craving to smoke, they'll be craving to humanize, they'll be to drink, they'll be craving to continue their evil way. During that period, they are very religious. They show a little kindness, you know, a little kindness. When you come around them, you are asking for certain things, maybe they are to do certain things, they will go and do it because they want favor from God. That's the work of righteousness. And see, God has revealed his mind to us today to let us understand how people can get forgiveness. You see, if you as a person has an understanding, if you have an understanding how an individual can obtain forgiveness, you will be willing to go out and evangelize and talk to them. You'll be willing to let them know that, look, you can't be forgiven the way you are going. This way you are going, you cannot be forgiven. Praise be to God. It's a release from guilt. Not what you think. It is God that does it. And that is a proof that you are forgiven, which we are coming to. By joining church or take up some creed, but it's a release from guilt. It's a release from guilt by the power of Calvary. You see, something has released you. There is no more guilt. The Bible says, I believe in Romans 5, verse 1, there is death. Having been justified by faith, we are peace with God. That's what Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says. It's not problem. Now, Brother Sam was saying something the other time, that slip of tongue, this part of it, it's not an error. You can't crucify anybody for it. Brother wanted to quote Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He said Romans 5:1. And Romans 5:1 is being justified by faith, we are peace with God. But Romans 8 is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8. You see? Now, a man, when he is relieved from guilt, man or woman, there is no more desire in their heart to walk after the things of the world. When you are released from guilt, to walk after the things of the world, he is freely pardoned and becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. And his affections are set on the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. He is freely released. He doesn't have to have some priest to tell him or some minister to tell him. You will know it. You will bear witness that you are forgiven. But if there be someone who is not certain that he or she has been forgiven, then you, this morning, the Lord will give us an open door. He knows himself that he is pardoned because he has accepted it upon the grant that God sent it to him through Christ Jesus. What a feeling it is to be free from sin. It is a great release. Now you can imagine somebody who has offended the state and the police has dealt with him in their custody, then charged him to court. After taking him to court, he was kept in the custody, constantly in the custody. And one day, he was brought to the court for the last time and the judge pronounced and said that you have to go to your house. Can you tell the joy of that man? Not that just in the physical. That's not, that one does not happen in the soul of that man. It happens in the realm of his spirit. Because he is still a sinner. If he truly committed all that offense, but also other circumstances were considered to set him free, what is possible? It would be higher authority that must have spoken to the judge to release him. It's possible. It might be God wanting to give him the second chance, which you cannot tell what God can do, so that he can go and repent and think on his way and then come back to God. That can happen. The judge might just have mercy upon him. And it's whatever the judge says, that's the final. And then he's released. Except the case is subject to appeal. That's when they will appeal and say, no, we don't agree with this. this guy must go to prison. Why did God promise forgiveness? That is the only way that we can be reconciled back to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the work of reconciliation. It is for the purpose of reconciling the guilty sinner back to him. That's what God did in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. He forgave their sins by killing an animal to cover their sins. If that never happened, because he has already driven them out of the Garden of Eden, and he told them that, whoa, because he has all his attributes that is yet to manifest, he has his programs. If he led them like that, that was their end. They will never come back to him. He has to make an atonement for them by killing an animal, shed the blood, and that's why the Bible says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. The remission of sin brings forgiveness. It is the forgiveness to the sinner. And it has to be accepted. If you are forgiven, somebody that offends you, and you say, oh, bro, that's over. That's all right, that's no problem. And the person still come back to you tomorrow and say, Fred, I'm very sorry for what I did. I'm very sorry for what. He will not be free with you. He won't be free with you. But if you understand that you are truly forgiving him or her from the heart, he will be free with you. He will be free. So that's what God did. That the sinner might be free to come back to him, he offered forgiveness by making atonement for the sin of the man. That forgiveness does cost a lot. It doesn't come freely. God does not forgive just to say you are forgiven. He paid the price for that forgiveness. Praise be to God. Now, because if God does not introduce forgiveness in his program, all his sons and daughters will be lost. That's the only way we can come back to him. It is by forgiving us. And that's why Jesus Christ was saying, he said, forgive us as we forgive those who offend us, those who sin against us. Praise be to God. God is merciful. It is one of his characteristics. How we know God is that he forgives sins that are pardonable. Because not all sins are pardonable. From the sum of faith is the substance. The prophet says, paragraph 28. Now, closing, I want you to notice this. God shouldn't have to have this, but he's always had to have it. Similarly, some object that people could look to, some object like the brass serpent. Now, they should not have had that. They should have believed God, but for a memorial that there had been an atonement and all was one coming, which the brass spoke, which is spoken, the serpent spoke of sin, brass spoke of judgment, for judgment already, for judgment that already passed. The brass serpent represented the brass altar. Sin already condemned and judged. That's the brass. Remember where the prophet is referring to. When the children of Israel, you know, murmured in the wilderness, God sent fiery serpents to bite them. As many as were beaten by that, God still had mercy on them. He still had mercy on them. He just called Moses, go and take a brass, fashion it in the form of a serpent, and hang it on a pole. That any of them who will look at it will be forgiven and will be healed. Their sins will be forgiven them, and then they will be healed. And that is the reason for the atonement. And that's what Jesus Christ referred to. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. For what? For the salvation of the world. To provide atonement for God's people. Praise be to God. So that's what the prophet is referring to here. Like Elijah went up and looked, and Gehazi said, why? The skies are like brass. Judgment. Brass already, brass always speaks of judgment. The brazen serpent. Serpent spoke of sin. It was nailed to a pole, showing that sin would be nailed to a pole, a tree, someday for a compound cause. You see? For what compound cause? For the salvation of our souls, after we are forgiven, for atonement, and then for the healing of our body. That is the very two compound purposes why, you know, Christ went to the cross. And that's what was demonstrated in the wilderness when the brass serpent was made by the commandment of God that Moses should hang it on a pole for everyone that was beaten by snake should look at. And do you know, despite the simplicity of the provision of the brazen serpent, some people did not look. You see, that tells you that it's not ordinary for them not to look at it. Just to turn their head where they were looking. Some of them will be offended and say, he caused snake to bite us. He's now asking us to come and look at the serpent. Brass serpent. They will die there. They will not be healed because they are not forgiven. And the same thing today with the cross. The cross is for a compound purpose. Jesus went there to purchase our salvation and our healing. And that is why we are entitled to it. That is why the prophet said, healing is children's bread. Healing is children's bread. Salvation belongs to us, the children of God. So what we saw in the brass serpent is what the prophet is telling to. When the brass serpent was literally in the wilderness, it was for forgiveness of sin and healing of the body. Because if they were not forgiven, they will not be healed. Those who were not forgiven died. Because they were not forgiven, then they were not healed. So that is why the prophet told us that salvation is what is permanent. Healing is temporary. You know, one is sick of a sickness today, you are healed, and tomorrow you can still be sick of the same. But the prophet said, once a soul is saved, is spiritually healed. The prophet said, is eternally healed. That is the accomplishment. And that what forgiveness can accomplish. Praise be to God. Now, reading from the Church of the Living God, it's a sermon. The Church of the Living God. Preaching 51, July 27th. 51, July 27, paragraph 10. And in the days when the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, God had a message of a brass serpent on a pole, provided for a compound reason, for forgiveness of sin and healing of their body from a snake bite, which their medical aids will not touch. You see? And Moses was learning in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, which were very smart, shrewd, medical men. His remedy did not help this certain snake bite. Because it was God's punishment. It was from God. You see, that is why the prophet made us to know that there are some sicknesses that come from God. They were to afflict the person, whether to make the person to think on this or away or this and this. That is why we don't just lay hands on people. And the prophet told us that you might find yourself in trouble with God if you pray for such individual. You have to be led by God. You know? That's those who have, perhaps had in their heart and God want that sickness to be upon them so that they will learn their lesson and turn back to Him. Yes. And we believe that to be true. Because the Bible states it, and he lifted up a brass serpent, and the people had nothing to do but to look at the brass. To look at that brass serpent and believe that it was God's compound cure for their sin. For refusing God's servant and for complaining against him and for the cure of their snake bite. That was what it was meant for. When we come to church, We must have revelation of what the world is saying. What God is trying, you have to bring yourself in the picture of the sermon that has been preached. Don't allot it to somebody. Don't allocate a quote that is being referred to somebody else. You are the one that is in the picture, because God deals with an individual. It is not your portion to be allotting it. In other words, you are saying that quote is not applicable to you. When it is not applicable to you, leave it to whosoever is applicable to. And I want to tell you that because of a single person, a minister might prepare for hours a particular sermon, and it's just for one person, and you don't know who the person is. Because God is the only savior. He's the only one that has pardon. And that's what the prophet told us in the sermon, things that are to be. The prophet said, when you, as a child of God, you are calling upon God and say, God, this thing I don't want into my life. This thing I don't want into my life. This is what your promises, I want your promises fulfilled in my life. I want your promises fulfilled in my life. The prophet said, God knows how to address that. He said, we anoint a preacher to come behind the platform, and the preacher will talk about it. By that, he's supplying your spiritual vitamin that you need. The prophet then linked it with a mother who is expecting. He'll be craving, the woman will be craving for some hot food. You prepare papenda, you say, this is not what I want. Maybe it's Gary. She will go and settle down with for Gary and say, it's Gary that I want to drink. And sometimes some expensive thing she will demand. And at the end of the day, the prophet said the woman is demanding that. He said a sensible man will try to provide all that his wife demands for in the course of that pregnancy, because it is your child that is being built. You want your child in the womb to be properly, to grow properly, so that you can have a good boy born to you or a good girl born for you. The prophet said that one God does also to his church. He wants them to be strong spiritually. So when somebody has prayed and is talking to God, God, help me. Take this away from my life. I don't want this in my life. Help me in this area. The prophet says God will then bring somebody behind the platform, anoint him to talk about that area. And then coming to church, you have to open your ears. And that's why we say, we only take out of the service the amount that you have contributed. Praise be to God. Abraham says from the sermon pardon, paragraph 25, he said, may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his words. And now I want to speak, alright, okay, this is what I want to bring out of that. And I think that that's a glorious word, to be pardoned. Because we are all guilty of sin. We have all sinned and come short of God's glory. And God, through his Son, has pardoned us from this guilt of iniquity and sin. Praise be to God. Then the prophet gave us an instance of a man who was serving his country on the battleground. And he was not so much of a soldier, because he was afraid when he was hearing the grenades. We were hearing the machines, the way the bullets, the way the guns, and all the sounds and the rest of it, he became panicked. He had to run away from the battleground. He went to hide somewhere. So at the point they were looking for him, so finally they discovered that he ran away from his post of duty. And the penalty was death. He has to be hung. And so they got him arrested, put him in the prison, and they're waiting for the day that he will be executed. Then a friend got to know. Then that friend made effort to go and see the president. It was during President Lincoln. It was not a story. It was an event that happened during President Abraham Lincoln. And so he ran and went where Abraham Lincoln was going, maybe in his convoy, he was able to get Abraham Lincoln's attention, and he stayed. And then he said, please, I ask for mercy for one, my friend. And he, the friend narrated the story of his friend who ran away from the battleground because of fear. That is, he didn't mean to do it, but it was the fear that made him to do it. The friend pleaded with him before Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln said, that's okay, wait, what are you asking? Please pardon him. They want to execute him. Give him state pardon. Then right there, the paper that he had with him, Abraham Lincoln took it and he said, pardon. And he signed it. And he gave it to the friend to go and give it to the guy. I, Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States of America, pardon so-so person. And he signed it. I gave it to the friend. When the friend got it, he was happy. He ran to the prison where the friend was before the day of his execution. He was happy. He said, you are free. He said, I have seen Abraham Lincoln. And I pleaded your case with him, and he has signed your pardon. This is it. Let's go and present it to them so that they will see. This is the President of the United States. When the friend looked at the friend that was in prison, when he looked at it, he said, you are making jest of me. He said, how can you say this is Abraham Lincoln? He said, well, it's not his letterhead. He said, it was not on his letterhead. That if it's Abraham Lincoln, it should have been Abraham Lincoln letterhead. That he would have signed, or he would have written that on his letterhead and signed it. He said, this is ordinary paper. He said, they will not accept it. The president said, I'm the one that went. It's to Abraham Lincoln. Look at the situation of the president. Said, you are making jest of me. You are making my life more miserable. Leave me in a prison like this. Leave me alone. You know, I will soon be executed. You are making me to be more nervous. The man said, no, this is Abraham Lincoln. This is Abraham Lincoln. And because the friend rejected it, the day of execution came, they went and executed him. When his name was announced in the radio that so-so had been executed, Abraham Lincoln called. He called them and said, what? I, President of the United States, have signed the pardon of so-so person that you have executed. Why should you do it? And then they called and said, well, then they asked for the friend. The friend came and said, well, I presented it to him. He did not accept it. And then the court sat and looked at it and said, well, a pardon is not a pardon except it be accepted as a pardon. So every time we come to church, God is offering pardon. Whether it's in the form of rebuke, whether it's in the form of doctrine, whether it's in the form of correction, whether it's in the form of instruction, it is pardon that's been offered. And when you don't have an understanding like that guy that was executed, you might just think that, it doesn't really mean anything. Because you lack revelation of what is being talked about. The importance of what you are hearing. Listen very closely. Anytime there is a service, in any service, even as we're here today, God designed every program. When pastor comes to preach, everything that he preached, that's what Jesus Christ would have preached if he was standing here physically. And I want you to have that understanding. Anytime Brother Sam stands here to preach, whatever he preached would have been what Jesus would have preached if Jesus was standing physically. You might not understand what I'm saying. Anytime I stand here to preach, anytime the evangelist stands here, anytime Brother Femi stands here, anytime Brother Udepo stands here, or any other minister stands here to preach, is exactly what Jesus will preach. Because it is his word that is being echoed. So your attitude to what you are hearing now will not be your attitude if you were there when Jesus was preaching. That's why the prophet preached attitude and God. People's attitude, and that's why we're going to look at attitude to forgiveness. So your act, if you don't understand, just like that friend, you'll be hearing pardon on a daily basis. We will sing it in form of hymns, it will be in form of prayer, every other thing in form of preaching. You will sit down, warm the bench, leave the bench, and go to your house the way you came. Because the essence of the sermon is to be certain that you are forgiven your sins. Now, because it is because of sin that God will judge the world. So you have to be certain that your sins are forgiven you. It's not just to patch up and say, well, by and by I will come to it, by and by I will come to it. No. It is something that you must be in every service, you must be determined to be certain, to have an evidence that you are forgiven. Because that is how you walk with God in confidence. The Bible says, if our heart condemns us not, is that we have confidence towards God. He said, but if our heart condemns us, then God is greater than our conscience. He's greater than our heart. So there is no way you can walk with God if you have guilty conscience, or you are in a position where you are not certain that your sins of the past up to today have been taken care of. Then that will now bring you to think about, how did you do water baptism? From that journey, how did you repent coming to water baptism? From water baptism to the level you are, how far have you gone? What has led you to this point? And what has happened? You have to reopen the book of your life, the pages of your life, and address issues. And then be sure that this part of this aspect, you take care of it. Because if you are not certain and you are asking for water baptism, you are deceiving yourself. If you are not certain you are forgiven, you are asking for healing, you are not, you are deceiving yourself. Praise be to God. Who can forgive? We know God can forgive. Isn't it? Of course. God is actually the only one that forgives. Is the one that forgives. But he also gives us that commandment to forgive another person who has sinned against us. Now, the way God does is, an individual must come to God, confess their sins before they can receive pardon, before they can be forgiven. But it is not necessary for you and I to have who offends us come to us to apologize. And that's why many people have problems. They expect that every time people offend them, the person must come and apologize. And once the person does not apologize, they are not in good terms with that person. You are not right with God. Because if you understand what forgiveness is, you will know that it is the necessary condition for you also to be forgiven. It's a necessary condition for you also to be forgiven. If you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's what it says. And so, if you have an unforgivable spirit, you must have to be delivered from that. Because it's a spirit. And it's a nature. You have to be delivered. You have to die to that for you also to receive forgiveness from God. Outside of that, you are just playing. We know God can forgive. God has forgiven several people. He proclaims it. Forgiving iniquity. He proclaims what's the name of this prophet who ran away? Jonah. The book of Jonah, you see there. That was why Jonah refused to go to Nineveh. He ran to Tarshish. Why? He knew God will forgive. And he didn't want those people to forgive him. He wanted God to destroy them. He knew that by the time he went to Nineveh, he told them what God wanted to do to them. He said he knew the people will repent. And if they repented, God will forgive them. He knew the nature. He said, I know before. He said, I know that you are going to forgive. That's why I didn't want to go. It is God that forgives. But he forgives on a condition that you will recognize that you have done what is wrong. That is The only person that can get forgiveness from God, you have to recognize you have done something against all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, many people have the problem of saying that me, but in your jet, I did not say you should not be well with another person. I'm just living my life. That's self-righteousness. That is not enough ground to qualify you to obtain favor from God, to obtain mercy, forgiveness from God. No! You are standing on your own ground to claim what you are not qualified to get. It starts to be that you record, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. You see, one thing that every elderly person and young one must understand is that our birth made us sinners. That's it. We were born sinners. But God did not leave us alone like that. He made an atonement for sin. And it appears to us, this is the way. You are born like this, but you can come out of it. I have my fountain open for your sin to cleanse you and make you a brand new person and give you my spirit. He makes a way like that. He's now left for the individual, just like this guy, to whom pardon was presented.
He said, your sins are forgiven you. And the people came and said that, who are you to be forgiven sins? They are talking to God.
Because they refused to believe what was written concerning the man that was standing. They have misinterpreted their scroll to them to make them to think that this man, and that is the way they were looking at Jesus. They look at Jesus as Beelzebub, chief of the devils. And then they saw him as a bastard born. They saw Jesus as a bastard. Now, bastard, their understanding is that Mary went to live with another man and came back and rubbed it on Joseph. And lied that it was an angel that did this. And that's why they called Jesus bastard. And if you listen, if you read the sermon, Luke chapter 2, where the prophet preached expectation, talking about Simon. How the dedication of the baby Jesus was done. How all other mothers and everyone, when they sidetracked Mary, they went away from her. It was only Mary that was standing up. And God led Simeon, a blind man, and then Hannah led them to him. And he went and carried Jesus, and he prayed just like the Bible, the God has told him that you will not see dead until you have seen the Lord's cry. That is the person that people are calling baseable, that they are calling bastards, is the one that God spoke to in sin, and he said, you will not see that until you have seen the Lord's Christ. And when it was the day of his dedication, God told him, oh yeah, leave this place and go. And he was led to where baby Jesus was sitting. Nobody announced to him that this is where he was sitting. The Holy Spirit led him to where Jesus Christ was. When Jesus grew up and he began to do the work of his father, did he mind them calling him Beelzebub? So when somebody abuses you, when somebody curses you, when somebody says evil things about you and you are not guilty about it, don't bother yourself. Just keep going. Just keep going. Praise be to God. So it's God that can forgive. And when God forgives, the difference between God and man is this. When God forgives, he forgets. When God forgives, he forgets. God expunges from his own memory. That is the ability that God has. When he forgives a sin of any person, God does not remember it any longer. Because he has passed on the person. It is the person who has been forgiven that the devil can be battling with and tell you that you think God has forgiven you. He has not forgiven you. He will be reminding him of this, reminding him of this, reminding the gravity of the sin he has committed, the gravity of the sin she committed, what she did, how she ran her mouth, how she did this and the rest of it. The devil will come at this. That is why you must have the evidence that you are pardoned. You present the evidence.
Praise be to God.
Now, when God forgives, He forgets. But human beings cannot forget because we are not God. We still have the memory to remember. But in the case of that, if you have truly forgiven that person, the person comes back into full fellowship with you.
That was what Paul was telling Philemon about Onesimus. In Philemon,
that this Onesimus has not been profitable to you, but now he's a brother, no longer a servant. Why? Because he has accepted the gospel. He said, whatever he has done to you, write it in my account. He said, I will not talk about how much you also owe me, even your own life. He said, which I've used my own right, the poor, the agent. Now, what is that? He's telling you that man can forgive, man cannot forget. Philemon, of course, when he sees Onesimus, God has pardoned the guy because he has given his life to Jesus Christ under the ministry of Paul. So, but Onesimus told Paul what happened to him between him and Philemon. And that was why Paul was not writing Philemon to tell him that accept him as a brother, not as a servant. Much more now, as a brother. Yeah. Yeah. He said, Paul, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee, how thou wast unto me, even thy own self besides. You see? So, so what we are saying now is that, now the prophet gives us this to understand from the unpardonable sin. The prophet said, listen. The believer forgives sins. You are not to wait until the person that offends you come to you to say, I'm sorry, before you forgive. And that is why it is very easy to deal with a believer. Because he knows that you have done what is wrong because perhaps you are in your unguided hour. Yeah, he will have an understanding. A Christian will have an understanding. But somebody that's not a Christian will not have an understanding. There is no reason you will present that will convince him. That will convince her. He will, as long as he holds to his own point, that's where he's going to stay. What you are doing is that you are not helping, you are blocking the day of mercy for yourself. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, in other words, if you are asking God to forgive you as you also forgive those who sin against you. You know, that's how Jesus taught us to pray. And then in Mark chapter 7:2, let's read that while we are here. Mark chapter 11. From verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. What did he say? And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have not against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's a dangerous verdict. You know, it's a verdict. It's not reversible. Somebody offends you. You have to, that person must pay for it. That person has become something else to you. If God holds you like that, you will never see God. on the basis of your attitude to the person that has sinned against you. In fact, it pays you to forgive that person. Leave the person if he's not ready to repent. You make your way right with God so that you can find favor. Ah, because you know that if this one is not ready, make him not be an hindrance to me. If he has not come to repent, God, I forgive him. Because we are waiting until he comes to say, I'm sorry, before you will say, I forgive. God will also wait until the person comes before he forgives your sins. Listen here, unpardonable sins. Listen here, men and women now, my friends and Christian friends, if the only thing that you think that you know about is just simply coming to church, you stop that right now. Stop just thinking you are all right. If you got imaginary mind, now what is imaginary mind? Mind that is full of imagination. And imagination is one of the senses of the spirit. Imaginary mind. Let's continue. We might still come back to that. If you got imaginary mind, well, I believe I am saved, and you see that you are always picking fuses, or you are always gripping about something, there's something wrong with you. If you see you just can't keep enmity out of your heart, if you see there's something like that, don't be deceived. God is not mock. That's right. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. That's right. The thing for you to do, you say, well, I believe I got the Holy Ghost. And you see, it doesn't bear fruit of meekness and yield and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness. And so forth, then it is time for you to shake yourself out, to shake out of yourself. It is God that forgives, brother, sister forgives the brother. Sister forgives sister, sister forgives brother, brother forgives sister, brother forgives your neighbors, not only the church. Anyone whosoever offends you, whether adult or young, it is very, very compulsory for you to forgive. Because your own forgiveness is connected with you forgiving others. So it is a compound thing. Like, let me show you this. In mathematics, they used to kill students with that. And I want to show you how it is, what we are saying here. A plus B is equal to 4. Abi? C plus D is equal to 6. They will say, what is the addition of this and this? So A plus B plus C plus D is equal to what? 10. Then they now ask a question and say, use the answer in A. Answer in A to answer the question in B. You get it? I have faced such questions very well. Now, if you didn't get this, if they say minus this, they say minus 4 plus 6. You know, it's very confusing. Minus 4 plus 10, right? Minus 4 plus 10. If you don't get the answer, and you want to answer question 2, and this answer is what you are going to answer here, if you don't get this one, you will miss this. That's what it means. So, God made it so strong that you will not think about your own idea. You will only surrender to what God says. You will not even be interested in what the person has done. You only be interested in reconciliation. That's what this is telling. Then this is what this one is talking about. It's not to wait until donkey years, donkey months, donkey weeks before he use a resolve when you have you with somebody. In your heart, let it be. Let forgive the person. And if you cannot, call a meeting, talk about it, and don't let issues linger. The more issues linger between you and your city. See,
Christians are the best people on the face of the earth. I'm saying Christian. I'm not saying church members. I'm saying people who know what pardon is, what forgiveness is. They're the best people on the face of the earth. Because when you offend them, whether you come to apologize, because they don't want any injury between them and God. They enjoy God's fellowship. They don't want him to, as you come to church, we say, let there be nothing standing against us. Many things are standing against many people. When you don't forgive somebody that has offended you, you have to fight that and get it to your right. It has to be a constant prayer, because it's one of the problems that people have. Jesus knows that people have that problem. That is why I mention it. Forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Having a bowel of mercy towards one another. Having an understanding that where this person did this because he didn't, he might. The best thing, somebody, I was talking to somebody. So, and I was very happy with the statement that person made. So, at the end of the day, in the course of talking, then the person said, well, that's the way this person does his own. He said, but maybe that is the way his nature is. He said, maybe that is the way he understands it, or maybe he forgets. So when he says, look at that, I say, God bless you. That's a good way to conclude. Don't say, oh my money. Don't say that. You could be wrong until you have called a person to seek an audience with him or her and say, oh, this. If issues are not being complicated, you could close the chapter, you could reconcile, you can take. The Bible says you can accept to be defrauded. You can accept it to make peace. After all, what was it called? Blessed are the peacemaker. For they shall be what? Called the sons and daughters of God. Peacemaker. Peacemakers are only people, are not the only people who mediate to foster peace between two people, conflicting people. You yourself. When people offend you and, you know, you can foster peace. The Bible says, be at peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. It's also a strong verdict. Be at peace with all men. So if you are not at peace with men, then you can't see God. It's the same thing, that means you are not at peace with them. Quickly, you see, there are many teachings of Jesus Christ in the New Testament that says that quickly agree with your adversary. Quickly agree with your adversary, settle with it. Let this go. But if you want to say no, this, at the end of the day, you might regret it. So that is why it is very, very important. God can forgive. And you can forgive. But if you don't have that ability, you have to ask God to help you. And then Holy Ghost is the ultimate victory over that. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And help me. You know I have this. Deliver me from it. And fill me with your Spirit. Not just to have deliverance over that. A total Holy Spirit is what you need. And Holy Spirit is total deliverance. Praise be to God. Who can be forgiven? It is only the elected that can be forgiven their sins. Because they are the only ones that cannot blaspheme. Praise be to God. Because there are sins unto death, and there are sins not unto death. So, the people that can be forgiven are God's whole. They are the elected of God. Rapport told us in the New Testament. In the Gospels, he said he blasphemed the church of God. Is that how he stopped? He said, but I did it in ignorance. He did it in ignorance. He never knew, and God counted it as ignorance for him. That was why he was filled with the Holy Spirit thereafter. He persecuted the church. If there was anybody that was too fast at the trigger, he will say Paul is a serpent seed. Look at how he dealt with the church. with a certificate, with a letter in his hand, letter of authority to go and get the disciples arrested and lock them up in prison. On his way, he met the owner of the program, the very God that he was persecuting. And that brought a turning point in Paul's life. When he met the very person he thought he was serving, that he thought he was fighting for. You are Jesus whom I persecute? The pillar of fire? This is Jehovah. This is Jehovah. You are Jesus. The prophet said that is why we know that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Praise be to God. From the Psalm of the Seven Church Ages, that's a 54, preaching 1854. As long as you have not blasphemed, you can be forgiven yourself. Where could it be, as the church was brought in under that demonstration? I'm reading paragraph 69. It's a sermon preaching 1954, May 19. And the same demonstration promised for the last days. Can't you point back and say this is what was spoken of? See, there you are. And the outside world doesn't know nothing about it. It is foolishness to them. He said, look here. And they said now, he told them how that they had crucified Jesus. And every time, you can get forgiveness for crucifying Jesus. You can get forgiveness for taking his name in vain. But who speaks against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven him in this world or in the world to come. Did you hear what the prophet said? He said, you can be forgiven for crucifying Jesus. You can be forgiven for taking his name in vain. He said, but to speak against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Of course, that's what Jesus Christ said. And the prophet said that during the time when Jesus was there, the Holy Ghost hasn't come. He said, now that the Holy Ghost has come, it is Jesus now in his, through the Holy Spirit, in his people doing what Jesus did. He said, the Holy Spirit is doing that in the people and you make jest of it. He said, that's blasphemy. Or you say anything against it. And that's why the prophet warned us not to, not to say any bad thing to any of these religious organizations. When they are praying, leave them alone. When they are praying, leave them alone. Don't be too fast at the trigger to talk about the operations of gift in their midst if you are not certain. Don't hear what somebody says about it and then you carry the message. Be careful. Because to let you know, Holy Spirit is there in the denomination. Am I speaking? Am I talking to message people? The anointed ones at the end time. The Holy Ghost is in their midst, but the anointing of that spirit is in the spirit of their preachers, their anointed one. The problem is the same spirit that is doing it, the same anointing, but is in the wrong realm. Because their souls are not converted. They have the anointing in their spirit, that's why they can do signs and wonders. That's why they can prophesy sometimes it comes to pass. When that anointing, that genuine anointing speaks to them. That's where so many things you see happen. It's not the spirit of the devil. Go and study the sermon, the anointed words at the time. You will be established. But it's in their spirit realm. They are not converted. And that is because of the quality of the word that they feed on. It cannot bring salvation to them. It's creed and dogma, they feed on. But they have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their spirit, not in their soul. The message that we are called to, that gathered us, is to prepare us by giving us the Holy Spirit in our souls. That's what makes us born again. That's why we can live the life of God. But they can be religious. They can quote scripture before you say it. They can tell you the pages where you can find it. Tell you the Bible references. As you are opening your mouth to say this one, they can tell you. But in their spirit, they have the anointing that makes them to preach wonderfully. But in their souls, they are sinners, converted.
and they are not meant to be converted in their souls. The Buddhist values among them will only be saved during the white throne judgment. They'll be given eternal life there. Are you getting me now? They cannot be born again here. They will go to great tribulation. So it is. People can blaspheme. And when they blaspheme, that's the end of it. There is no forgiveness for that. So we are to be careful what you say about them. It doesn't concern you. They are going to answer before God. But we have been taught the correct operation of the gate, how the church must operate in order. Praise be to God. Someone made a remark in a paper not long ago. He said, well, the people are all going down to Abraham healing campaign and get demonized. He said he detected all the demons and cast them all out. Now, that was a very flat thing for someone to say, but through ignorance, the man did it. If he would have only just said that minute, he would have found out. Now, he did that, just said that because he didn't know any better. And if he did know better, God help his soul, because he has blasphemed the Holy Spirit then. And there's never will be forgiveness for that. See? Whosoever blasphemed the Holy Spirit, it is an unpardonable sin. He can never be forgiven at all. Through all eternity, you are still lost forever. To speak, you don't just speak against the Holy Ghost. See? So be careful. If you don't understand it, just don't say nothing. Just go ahead. Let it alone. Praise be to God. Now, how do we obtain this forgiveness? This here is where the journey that leads to the Holy Spirit must be started right. How to be forgiven. How to receive forgiveness. And over and over, it's already been said, it is just basically to obey Acts 2:38. Repent. Repentance, genuine repentance, godly sorrow, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, godly sorrow, working repentance unto what? Unto salvation. Not to be repented of. For godly sorrow, working repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world, working death. So godly sorrow makes you to think of God's mercy, asking for mercy, not you taking steps to go and terminate your life. That's the godly sorrow. That's what Judas did. Peter did the first part. He repented when he saw that he had denied Jesus Christ three times before the cock crow. And while Jesus was going, Jesus looked at him in the face the third time and said, did I not tell you? And you jump up and down and boasted with your own flesh, with your own human flesh. No man can defend God with his natural strength. So that was Peter that took sword and cut off the hair of Marcus. Where was he? When Jesus was said there and the people were telling him that, you happen to be one of them. One of his disciples said, myself? Open your eye very well and look at me. It might be somebody that resembled me. He denied. The second time that one said, I saw you in the garden with them. He said, he swore. If I ever know that man. The third time he was by the fire, warming himself. That man said that, your language betray you. This thing that you are saying is going to say me. Like was in control of Jehovah. Me, you tell, really? If you are talking about that man Jesus, I don't think I know how he looks like. Anyhow, he denied. But whatever expression he used, he denied. And at the top point, the cock crew. And Jesus looked at him. And he saw Jesus. Why? Guilty conscience, boom, in his heart. He ran out of that place. He went to weep. He wept. The Bible said he wept bitterly. That was a godly sorrow. But Judas also denied him in another way. But when condemnation came to Judas after Jesus was arrested, he thought Jesus would play gimmick. Thought Jesus would free himself, would disappear like he used to do. I mean, go into their midst without them touching him. He thought it was like that. He didn't know it was written. The shepherd would be smitten and the sheep would be scattered. He didn't know. He played the role. And after he watched Jesus following them, is this me? But I thought this man will escape. This man did not escape. He felt very sorrowful. The money he collected, he could not spend it because of the sorrow of his heart. He went back to those people and said, look, I have betrayed an innocent blood. He said, take your money. They said, which money? Money or blood? We are not going to collect it from you. He said, see you to that money. It's your own. You have done, we have done all the service. We are paying you for the service. So we don't need the money. It's already out of our account. He said, I don't want. He just opened his hand and threw the money down. He went out from that place to go and crucify himself. That's scripture. Worldly sorrow worketh death. But godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Every sinner must come to that point of godly sorrow. That godly sorrow will lead you to repentance, and that repentance is to salvation. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's salvation. So when you repent, God will pardon you. Praise be to God. And the prophet told us the only way to be pardoned today is to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. No other person can be forgiven aside of that. The only way that God has made for this Laodicea age for forgiveness to be attained is through that. Sprinkling water on the people, baptizing them face down in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, back down in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, baby on the side, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, on the side, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You only took them to water to wet them. The script, there is no scripture that will fulfill the life of those people. Because they are doing what is not scriptural. So it has to be that repentance in his name, and then you go for water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Forgiveness of sin. That's when God, after you have obeyed that, God apply his word. And then expunge your sin. Because he has paid for that sin. And you have come to recognize the atonement that he made. And you have obeyed his word for that. For you to get the atonement for your sin. Then he effects it for you. When that is done for you, then the next thing is that the Holy Spirit comes. Your forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Because that is what leads to Holy Ghost baptism. If you are not forgiven your sins, you cannot get Holy Ghost. And today, my brother and sister, there is a way provided for men and women. That's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died yonder at Calvary. And through his blood, we have remission of sins. And can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a prover of God that he has accepted us his Son, into his Son, Christ Jesus, safely secure. Hallelujah. Oh, if sinners tonight will only be that anxious to know that you are pardoned, it's a finished work. It's not that God is going to push something in there, or he's going to start processing some other things. It's like a check that is already written. I mean, it's already signed. All you need to do is to just put your name there. Because the reason we have to repent is because God has a record of our past lives, of the things we have done in the secret. I used to say that, if somebody has offended the state, maybe the person stole, and the state got the person arrested and prosecute him and they sent him to jail. And his friend, he successfully served the jail terms and he came out of that place. I said to the state, he has fulfilled their command, isn't it? Though he's a hex convict, but they can no longer hold him because he has served the jester, isn't it? But in God's record, in God, who is he? Is he pardoned in God's record? Even though he is free by the state. See, every sin that a man commits has root in the Bible. What the nations have come out as sin, they do it from the Bible. Stealing, the Bible condemns it. Lying is also the court also frowns against it, because it's deception. When you lie, the purpose why you lie is to get something by trick. OBT, they call it OBT. Obtain money by trick, or whatever they want to call it. So it's when you lie, it's also an offense in the law court.
That's why they will say, come and place your hand on the Bible and swear that what you will say will be truth and nothing but the truth. Give you the Bible to swear. And if you have to go and witness for somebody, if it is comported that you go and witness for somebody, be careful what you are going to say. Not to say something in support of that person. Iron it out with that person before you go and say, look, I will not lie. This matter that is here, in the, I will not say anything different from what is here. Because I'm going to swear by the Bible when I get to the court. They will give it to me. It's compulsory. If you want to be a witness, you must swear by the Bible. They will give it to you. And say that, are you a Christian or Muslim? Or who? I say, I'm a Christian. They will give you Bible in place and say, say after me. What I'm witnessing today, I will say nothing but the truth. So help me God with your hand on the Bible. You are sworn. And what you are going to say there, let it be what God knows to be the truth. But and it's not for you to go to the court and witness against the person. Set to it with that person before you go and say, look, this is what I know about this matter. If I get to the court, I cannot say more than this. If it will be affect you, don't let me go. Look for another witness. Because I will not say something different from this. So God has record of our lives. And that is why we must search our lives. Because what God does is that before He gives us the Holy Spirit, it's an abstract title deed. And before a title deed is given to anybody that holds the land, they will search the original owner of that land. They will search that land and they are processing what they do about it. Before they will finally give you seal of the land. They will go back to the original owner. Find out who the original owner and the rest of it, everything, and make sure that you have done all that you're supposed to do before they give you that. That's how God searches our life and see that we come from Him and that there's nothing against us. Because when God will give that Holy Spirit, it means that nothing, God has nothing against you. Man can have things against you, which you may not know. As long as you don't know it, it's not a problem. But the Holy Ghost is that God has searched your life from the beginning, from the time of the day, from the accountability. When you knew what was right, what was wrong, and God opened a record for you. And the prophet said from age 12. If God starts writing, God starts writing. Nothing removes it but your genuine repentance in the light of the scripture. Just like we have said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Then you can receive the Holy Spirit. God will search your life, search everywhere of God. He has the record. So when he searches, he still finds something there, he holds on. He allows you to come to church, the preacher will come and bombard you. If you are the type that you don't have the sermon, that preacher, he hates me. He this one, you will go back worse than you came. Until the day you will recognize that, God, this is me that you are talking about. That day you get your deliverance. But we want to become something. So the Holy Spirit that God searches our life from the day that He opened a record. Whether everything has been thoroughly cleared in the light of His word, thoroughly clear. And He now sees that now there's nothing against Him. Now He's entitled to the Holy Ghost. And He approves His standing from heaven. And then He comes upon you. Until you receive the Holy Spirit, it means that God has something against you. And you have to believe that to be able to work on yourself. Let's bow down our heads. Time is not sufficient for me to go to justice. It is when you are filled with the Holy Spirit that you are truly justified. That's when you are truly justified. God has nothing against you. And whatever was written against you before is removed. And took away from your name is taken from the book of life to the last book of life. Nothing anymore against you. You are falsely accused. All that they say you did, you are not the one that did it. That is when you truly become justified. Let's think about these things, brethren. This is Malachi 4 message that has taught us how to come before God, how to present ourselves before Him, how to get pardon from Him, and how to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a promise. So that is why the prophet said that your total obedience to every word of God entitles you to the token. The word of God that concerns your level, your stage. God will not ask you to live the life of Holy Ghost man when you don't have Holy Ghost, no. Except you claim you have Holy Ghost when you don't have Holy Ghost. That's when you'll be required to produce the life of the Holy Spirit. Brother, sister, has God written anything against you? Is there a dark record somewhere that you don't know? What has hindered you from receiving the Holy Spirit hitherto? Young brothers, think on your ways. There is nothing hidden before God. He sees everything. Things that are covered before us here, He sees it. And when God is ready to expose anything, you can cover it with anything. God will remove it. He will bring it to the limelight. Don't wait until that time. Search your life, brother. Search your life, sister. Think about your life. Have you lied to your husband, a sister? Have you lied to your wife, a brother? Did you deceive your husband into marriage? Or you deceive your wife into marriage? What did you do? Have you played deceptive role somewhere and you leave it like that? Don't gloss over things that require that you search very deeply. Don't gloss over it. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Sinner, come home. Young man, think on your ways. You have the opportunity. Remember, the condition of your heart determines what God will do for you. In Cornelius' house, we are told that it was the condition of the heart of those people, even though they were hearing for the first time. Their hearts, they were pricked at their hearts. And the day of Pentecost too, when the people had, they said, what shall we do to be saved? And they were told what they should do. And they obeyed, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. The delay is from your end. It is not from God. God is not a deceiver. God is not a liar. God is not a liar. Oluwa kidense eni to se leri ti o le mu leri ese. He promised and is more than able to bring the promise to. But the prophet said God is a debtor until he fulfills his promise. And in order for his promise not to fail, the prophet said he will bankrupt heaven. All his resources he will exhaust it to ensure that none of his promise fails. Come home, come home, sinner, come home. You that are weary, come home. You that you have guilty conscience, you that you know that you cannot say that your sins have been forgiven you. What are you doing about it this moment? This is an opportunity to settle it. You that you have not really thought very well about your life, to see the way God sees you. Because if you see your sins the way God sees it, the Bible says you either repent or perish. You cannot see. You can't remain the same. If God, you will allow God to show you your sin the way He sees it. David could not help it. Such your life, brothers, young sisters, adolescents that have crossed, you've hit it 12, you are concerned in this matter. Don't think that you are still young. No, you are not. 12 years old, you are not young. God has opened a record for you. And is recording your daily life. Talk to God, brothers, talk to God, sisters. You must ask God to give you the grace. Grace. If you want to come to the altar to pray, you are free. The mountain is open for you. The fountain is open for you. God is calling his sons and his daughters to resolve the issue of their life now. It's an opportunity. It is because God has something against you. That's why you are not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Maybe you don't know what God has against you. Maybe you don't know the problem. And yet there is lingering. Why don't you say, God, help me to know where my problem is, that I might address it. While I call the associate pastor to come and pray for us, I will want you to express yourself to God in whatever way. The way that you know that, okay, this is the best way I can express myself to God, I can make my request known to God this morning. And if you are here, you have unforgiving spirit. Won't you ask God to set you free? To give you deliverance from it, that God might forgive your sins too? Maybe you are here, you don't, we are talking about the Holy Spirit, you feel that way, you are still young. When I get to some other things, I will pray about it. Whatever you want the Lord to do for you this morning, is here, present, to meet every need. We have sung, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. And you will find that he's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He's here at this moment. He's not going anywhere. He's here. Want to lay a hold of him and cry unto him like Bartholomew cried and said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Open my spiritual blindness. Heal my spiritual sickness. Heal my physical sickness. Deliver me. The works of the devil that you have come to destroy, let that destruction manifest in my life by freedom. While I have the associates to come forward, express yourself to God.
Anyone that would like to be remembered in prayer, and you can lift up your hand to God as we offer this prayer. Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you, O God, for your word that has gone forth. Lord, for close to 2 hours, we have sat listening to scriptures, quotations from your prophet, and Lord, explanations of these things together by your inspiration. The way the gospel is presented is simple enough for our understanding, so that we can be sure that we understand what God is talking about. Dear Father, you are the only one that know every one of us. And then we as individuals, we also know ourselves, at least to a large extent. And we can never deceive you, because you know all things. You know our hearts. We are grateful to you. If at that time, before the law was given, you gave conscience to people, oh God, to know what is right, and Lord, they also have that same heart that condemned them when they have done what is contrary to your word. Even though you did not give written commandment, but Lord, because of the attitude of the people in the time of now, you destroyed the entire world. That enough is a sermon to everybody to know that you are a righteous God. And Lord, you don't tolerate sin or unrighteousness. Any time, any day, is your enemy, and is the enemy of the souls of your sons and daughters. The main reason why we have come to your house, whether today or any day, is to check up with us for salvation, to see how we are standing with you, to see if we are called to come up either this moment, whether we will meet you or will face that voice of condemnation. Your word has gone forth as such our hearts. For those who pay attention, definitely there will be a settlement in the heart of each person. Whether I am justified, or I am guilty, or I am confused, I don't know, I'm not sure. And because you are not the author of uncertainty, it is still another operation of the enemy. We want to ask at this time, oh God, your prophet said that it's the duty of the preacher to preach your word, and it is your own responsibility to put the word that is preached in the heart of the predestinated ones. We also know that Satan, the devil, also used to carry the same word and reinterpret it to the heart of his own children. Master, we believe, oh God, that your children are seated here, they are yours. That's why they have come to church. That's why they want to be better. That's why they want to know your will. They want to live in the truth and live by the truth. We want to ask if there be any other that is having condemnation this afternoon, or sins not forgiven, or having unforgiving spirit, which is about the chief of demons. We will ask that you will be gracious and be merciful, and touch those hearts this afternoon, and clear every gate of the enemy. Grant relief unto your people, Heavenly Father. May you forgive every sin. And those that have unforgiving spirit, if there be any, may you touch their heart, that they will know the gravity of it, and they will know the offering that Satan has given unto them, that they may be able to stand today and dispel everything that they have in their heart against their fellow human being. Let it be their Father. We pray, O God, that your spirit will come and replace all these questionable spirits in the heart of your sons and daughters. Because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is peace, there is joy, there is pardon, there is justification, there is happiness. Oh Lord, we just ask that you will deal with each of your people. You are the only one that know what is in his heart. No hands are raised up. It could be by Christians filled with the Holy Ghost that want more of you. It could be by people, Lord, that even want to you to turn their heart to be able to have genuine repentance. It could be for people that want you to uproot the spirit of unforgiving in their heart. Whatever it is, since you know all things and all power belongs unto you, may you move among your people in your mercy and grant the needs of each person. Don't let any of us go as we came in, Lord. And your prophet said we cannot even go back the same way. Either we are better or we are worse. May nobody go from here worse, Lord. Have your way, dear Father. May you let your spirit water this things in our hearts, Lord, and expatiate it further. May it form a great meditation in our hearts. May the evil bear not pick any of them out of our hearts. But Lord, may you water it and bring forth fruits of righteousness. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, fill and refill us with your spirit and make us ready for your coming. Thank you, Heavenly Father. A brother that came to the altar, perhaps he has a need. Whatsoever the need he has, may you meet him at the point of his need. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. The vessel you have used, we pray you replenish him for the virtue that has left him and lift up the honor of his ministry. Grant it, Father. Lord, the short time that we have this afternoon, may we not waste it. May we not frolic about. May we use the time wisely. Lord, by 2 o'clock, bring us back again, Lord, to prepare ourselves for the next blessing you have for us today. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We believe that your children are listening from online, different places, within and outside the city. We believe you have blessed them likewise. May the blessings abide. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. I'm not saying in 144. By 1:44 p.m., those who are concerned with the convention meeting should be at the deacon's office. And I'll repeat that nobody will look for anybody. I mean, 12:44, I mean to say. Thank you. 12:44. We will not look for anybody, but there will definitely be consequences for absence and lateness. May the Lord be our help. I said, may the Lord be our help. Shall we rise? Hymn number 88, The Heaven of Rest.